Radio Alchemy.
Eclipsing conventional wisdom.
And hello, loves. Welcome to Radio Alchemy here on beautiful KPFK, because something is happening with Roy of Hollywood, and now something is happening with you as we invite you live into the studios from wherever you are. We are with you, and you are with us in each other's cranial cavities, reverberating and just vibrating. We hope at the highest vibration possible, because that's what we're shooting for. Okay, we're not shooting for the dense matter here. We're shooting what animates you, to bring that forth and to just tickle it, to get it excited about being here, because sometimes it's not fun. I'm telling you, the way this reality is spinning out of control. No, darlings, it isn't always the dance. It isn't always the ball. Sometimes it's the gutter, and sometimes it's the alleyways that we have to do and wind our way through. This thing called life, aimed onto Shangri-La, onto something so much better, but it's that we're doing it together, which is so wonderful. And joining us tonight on our live broadcast is our special, beautiful seminar that takes us supraplanetary, takes us to wherever you want to go. That's the great thing. To wherever you want to go is what the show is tonight, because Bob Dobbs and Ion are in the house. Yes, for our special flurry around the stratosphere. You can even go interplanetary, even inside terra firma, what you are standing on, what you are magnetized to. You can go subterranean, or you can go cosmic. Wherever you want to go is the place. Tonight, for you are standing firmly nowhere. And so it is fantastic to have you tonight on with Bob and Ion, as we just commune as the spiritual souls we are. And so that's what the show is about tonight, is you, Bob, and Ion, and wherever we want to go. Now, what is so interesting is that over the course of years of the United States, there have been a number of dignitaries who have surrounded themselves by psychics. And it isn't just Nancy Reagan that did that. Did you know that George Washington in 1778 claims to have seen an apparition of a woman who foretold the birth, progress, and future of the United States? Franklin Delano Roosevelt was the first person that consulted Jean Dixon. Jean Dixon, of Nancy Reagan fame. Well, she was quite young when she would sneak into the White House with a crystal ball and consult him on matters of political, and especially during World War II's international relations. She said that we needed to go with Germany against Russia. That's what she consulted and told FDR to do. Woodrow Wilson consulted psychics regarding the predictions of his death. And Abraham Lincoln was perhaps the most active president in the psychic realm. He participated in seances and experienced visions, including an incident that predicted his assassination. But of course, we know most famously of Nancy Reagan, who consulted Jane Dixon. And Jane Dixon also was a famous advisor to many celebrities. And as a matter of fact, Nancy Reagan was constantly consulted her, particularly up to the time of the assassination of President Reagan. And after that, she basically felt that Jane Dixon had lost her powers and moved on to work with Joanne Quigley. And what was so interesting about that, of course, is that Joanne Quigley advised her on very interesting matters when it came to such things as she would look at the calendar, she would look at what good and bad days were for the president to do certain things that might put him in danger. She would also schedule down to seconds the arrival and departure of the president's airplane, Air Force One. Other important events is she set the timing, which included including the Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces Treaty, She would schedule campaign debates against Democratic opponent Walter Mondale and Anthony Kennedy's Supreme Court nomination. Other folks, other presidents, such as President Harding, also, in addition, consulted psychics. And also Richard Nixon spoke with Jane Dixon. Just really a fascinating, fascinating survey. And before Nancy Reagan dumped Jane Dixon, she had quite a track record of predictions. Her most impressive predictions are from the 50s and 60s, where she foretold the launching of Sputnik, the UN Secretary General Dan Hammarskjöld's plane crash, the deaths of three Apollo astronauts, and much more. She also was remembered, however, as the woman that predicted Kennedy's assassination. It was very interesting to hear her visions, but maybe we'll talk about that a little later, because I bring up the episodes of famous people going to psychics to get an edge. Because who we have on here tonight, of course, is Bob Dobbs, one of the most forward, outspoken, I would say graduated candidates of the solar government, who is refashioning his own kind of terrestrial Sputnik to wind us through our journeys. And he is someone who is quite out open and is an amazing gentleman, because he shares the resources of his intelligence so that you can become intelligent, if you choose to do so, by going where no man has gone before, by discovering his latest and greatest seer by the name of Ion. And so, you know, history doesn't repeat itself. The future foretold that there are things that you can know through visionaries. And Bob is one that is constantly in search of, and it just happens to find. But the brilliant thing is that he shares. And so let me welcome onto KPFK Radio Alchemy, Bob Dobbs. Bob, say hello to everyone.
Hello, Ion. Hello, Eben. Again, your introductions are always very inspiring, get me energized, and I just tell you, I've got a lot of information in Shangri-La. It's a real place. You mentioned that in passing. I've learned a lot about Shangri-La from Ion.
Yes.
Oh. Guess who Abraham Lincoln's, I don't know if it's known historically, but his main psychic, do you know who it was?
No, I don't.
His wife.
What?
Yeah, Mary Todd Lincoln, isn't that her name?
Wow. Really? How interesting. I wonder how that cosmically hooked up. I can imagine what their charts look like that became. Well, you know what? That is actually a beautiful pairing. I mean, you know, behind every great man is a great woman. And so there goes that. Let me quickly.
It's an advantage to have a psychic behind your back. I just want to add to that.
Oh, yes.
That there is not an invention, a discovery, any activity that's been done through history that acquired significant levels, like a meme, like Lincoln, that didn't use a medium. That is the big hidden point of history. Edison used mediums, the present psychics, the present scientists in the Pentagon use medium. Everybody uses them. Isn't interesting? They don't let the kids learn that in school, though.
That's right. This brings up a whole thread to go through as to how, for one, do you find these folks, and, you know, how people say that there are children through some of these personality assessment tests, that they are able to find children and those that are maybe developed with psychic abilities and things like that. But before we go on into that world, let us introduce Ion to the audience here, who is so gracious to share his gifts with us. Ion, welcome to KPFK, sir.
Good morning.
Good
morning. How are you this fine day?
Oh, my God, so fine now that you guys are in the house. I'm telling you, we had such a raucous, fun time last time. And I want to say, Ion, I do want to talk with you and ask you questions when it comes down to the old blood and guts, because I know, you know, the ethereal is there for us to be discovered. But right now, boy, do we need to understand the manipulation of matter, you know? Because, boy, are there some games going on right in front of our eyes. And I know they're all for a higher charade, but I think, why can't the charade start actually mirroring Eden and peace and all of that? So there's a lot to talk with you about. And so it's always wonderful to have this powwow of matter.
Yes, indeed. Something fun you might want to play with as you're undertaking dimensions and concepts that you want to understand. Would the opposite of that be to oversit?
That sounds like a chip problem, Bob.
Yes, indeed, indeed. But it's how you chip at it. That's exactly correct. And we're happy to engage and play. We have great fun because it's so very simple. When you come down, you look at the large picture, and you consider this as just this magical or mystical place, when it's much more simple than that. You have a physical body. Your physical breathing, blood pumping, mucus creating physicality that has access to non-physical. And everyone has that inside them. That's how the coroner can tell if you're deceased or not. You have non-physical. And as that non-physical, you can find a way to embrace it. Then it activates all these what you call sometimes spiritual gifts.
Yes.
And those gifts of the spirit are activated in different folks, different ways. And the only reason it's different is because you embrace different aspects of your knowingness. And when you come into that place, then you can do, be, or have anything that you'd like to do, be, or have.
Let me ask you this, sir, on that note right there, in the aspects of knowingness, what is it about the animated part of matter? Like you said, a coroner knows that we aren't there when we're not moving. Something has left the building. And so could you break down once again the aspects of the characteristics of that animating force that people are not recognizing, thus not empowering?
Well, it's very simple. You spend much of your energy, which is what you are, is a big ball of energy, most things are, but you spend much of your focused looking, your focused experiencing, that things show up into your experience by default, when that's not the case at all. Hmm. There is nothing in your animated body that you are not in complete and total control of. There's no force that's out to get you or that undoes you. You are that force. And it's the space and the difference between the physical and the non-physical you that tells how close or far away you are to the proximity of your newest thought, desire, creation that's constantly showing up in your experience. So the conversation is two conversations, as everything is. The conversation then becomes, how close am I to me?
Yes.
And in the proximity thereof is that I'm successful and I can have this ultimate insight, or I'm far away, is that I'm lost and undone.
Hmm.
So it's your animatronic, if those are the correct words, there are many, position that you take the place of being aware of your environment from your place of embracing all, and we say all because it takes every dynamic, all that can give you the leading cutting edge, you see. Some have it from different aspects that they want to embrace, and some just want their family safe. They want their community safe. They want their house safe. They want their world safe. But they also are the driving force that brings in every other mixture or ingredient into making the perfect pot of soup.
Hmm.
And they control the salt and the savory and the sweet, and they can make it any way they want.
What is the factors that create the space?
Oh, your desires. You are a marvelous creator. Your desires, your new thought, every thought that ever has been thunk, pardon the grammar, still is. It's the basis of all creation.
Wow. Well, you see, that's why it is so important now, because our planet is thinking funk. I mean, and not the fun kind, not the stuff you dance to.
Oh, but oh, yes, you do. Oh, yes, you do. Oh, my stars. Yes, 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 yes. Oh, it's delicious. We in non-physical are dancing. The heavens are rejoicing time and time again. See, the contrast that you're describing
right. Is
what redefines what it is that you indeed do want. Apparently, it was not Maserati. Apparently, it was not another Mac Mansion. Apparently, you're wanting went a different direction. Apparently, you're sifting, if as it were, but now refocuses your energy into, how do I have peace in my mind? How do I have joy in my experience called living? How do I get to the place that I have comfort in my world? How can I control the aspects of time? How do I get more or stop what I have or undo the bad parts of my, quote, time?
But doesn't that presuppose that we can control our environs, and we really can't?
You certainly can. You absolutely can. You absolutely can. But just because you have a contrasting experience doesn't mean that that would be considered what you call negative. There isn't. It's not a negative. If you get up in the night to go to the bathroom, okay, you do that. You don't have to think about that. You don't have to create that environment. It just sort of, your bladder fills and you got to get up.
Right.
Well, you get up in the night and you bump your toe, that's contrast. And you'll feel instant manifestation of the pain that comes from stumping your toe, especially in the night.
Right.
Well, that's not a bad thing. You go, no, I really whacked my toe off. Well, that contrast is wonderful because it reminds you that you indeed have a toe and a circulation system that reminds you that there are the synaptic shock waves through your mind and the pain that causes from that process is a wonderful, wonderful thing, because it reminds you that you have a toe. You could have enough neuropathy in your foot that you don't have feeling in your toe, and you could actually knock your toe off and never notice. So it's a delicious thing. It's never a negative. It redefines that process. And then if you had forgotten, if it had left your place of knowingness, you are immediately brought right back front and center. Ah, I have a toe. Ah, I've knocked the nail off. Ah, it's very uncomfortable. But the deliciousness of that contrast refocuses the whole place of your experience.
But there are some people that share their contrast or project their contrast onto, and they're called dysfunctional psychopaths sometimes, you know. And that is, I think, a difficult thing for people to control our environment. Also, you know, I want to throw this out to both of you and Bob, in that if we're talking about things such as what behavioral psychologists, behavioral economists, all these individuals who have set up Pavlovian triggers, there is still choice, but boy, are you bombarded by assault upon the body and spiritual politic.
Well, genius is also a mental illness as well. It's the abnormal. It's the aberration. Not everyone is considered genius, but when you focus your energy on a thought and then you become very well versed in that process, they call you an expert. And yet you still enjoy what the psychologist would call a degree of paranoid schizophrenia. Sometimes that's what keeps you out in front of the bus. So the waxing and waning, which is what your moon does so perfectly, the waxing and waning of the process of where you are in the proximity of your place of knowing, because we could have this very show and speak only of laundry. The degrees of laundry, how do you get clothes dirty, how you get them washed, how you get them dried, ironed, put away, how you get them in the closet, how they get out of the closet. But that's not as dynamic, you see. And yet most everybody enjoys that experience, or they're burdened by it. But the show can go so much larger than that. But you could go focus into a pinpoint of that process of basically, when is laundry done? Never. When is it complete? Never. Well, such is so are the days of your life. Life is eternal. And when you can take the eternalness into this process and not have it as a burden, now you have a joyful, eternal experience rather than a burdensome, protracted decay. It's sort of, if you think about it from that way, then all of a sudden it becomes very wonderful. You're so excited that you had all these, you wonder, where did all these clothes come from? I must be a marvelous creator. You can't have this many clothes to have this many dirty at one time. So there's fabulous places in through history. We also sometimes have this issue with history because the way it gets recorded, unrecorded, and re-recorded. But that's okay because those are stacked up places of now. You have a now experience, and the next, oh, no, there it is, it's gone. Now. Okay, no, wait, now. Oh, wait, now. Now. Wait, now. Well, see, that's the aspect of time that kind of gets protracted. It gets tangled up. And if you could find a way to look at the larger dynamic of picture, if you look at your planet from space, you certainly have a different view, but it is exactly the same amount of view that you have from looking out your window. But if you can bring it to a larger perspective, then you look at your planet and go, this marvelous place called Earth, how fabulous. It's perfect. Every dynamic can be perfect in your field of vision.
That's, you know what, Bob, if I can ask you just on what Ian was saying, I think those are some of the operative keys. He's saying can and but, and there are these qualifiers in there. There's here's the goal, and then there's something that trips up sapiens in getting there. And from your work, and from you have seen solar councils, Illuminati, and these kind of power structures and bureaucracies work, how are they affecting people being able to manifest what Ion is talking about?
They don't have any effect at all. They don't exist anymore.
Well, they have in the past, and maybe this is still a reverberation from, you know, that's unwinding itself.
No, that ended on July 22nd this year.
What?
Ion has done a whole bunch of material on, he calls it the end of the beginning, and that solar eclipse around the 22nd was a major event, climaxing 13,000 years, as the Mayans pinpointed it, halfway through that 26,000-year cycle. We are in a totally new zone. Now, when you asked Ian about matter, that raised an interesting point for me, because I have been getting emails from Ion in the past couple of months, and I have checked JW, the vehicle for Ion, and I say, I'm getting emails that are signed Ion. Are you sending them? No. Can you take a look at your computer, because they're coming in from JW's email? So he looks in his sent file, and any of the emails I got from Ion are not registered coming from his computer, even though I receive them from his email address. So this is an interesting phenomenon. I've asked Ion, what's the physics of this? How does he stick this stuff in my computer? You know what I mean?
Yes.
I've done a lot with him, but... or it, with Ion, zillions of entities, over this question. But the physics of our situation do include images of hierarchy and power. But the physics of our situation has totally changed. And Ion has told me that other people would not get emails from Ion because they're not open to it. They don't believe it. Now, I've done sessions with Ion. We're in the middle of the session. Ion will send a sketch. We got manifestations here, which, you know, 40 years ago would have been stuff for 60 minutes or something, or the Gene Dixon fantastic level. But so many people are used to the psychic now and experience it in their own way so much now that the only neat thing about this is I'm getting it through my chip body, which is sort of neat. So I don't see where anybody can control the situation as we're in now. It is, and now, technologically, you are the center of your own universe now, technologically, with your MySpace, with your Facebook, and all the media you have. And that should be affecting the astral plane, or the plane wherever Ion is from. He calls it the non-physical. The non-physical is being influenced by the chip body and the TV body. And the very thing that we experience in the chip body has to be mirrored by the non-physical. That's why non-physical says you now are the center of the universe.
You are creating. You always have been, but now you're in the realization that the world does indeed revolve around you individually.
Our own worlds?
Your own? Well, that's the only one there is.
Our physical body standing here with our animated self in our perception helping co-create this world.
Correct. And not co-creating, you are creating your world.
Right. Right.
See, and it may be a co-creation with others because as you wax and wane, you overlap. Let's put it to the test. Okay, show me the science. I want to know. I want this right here, right now. I want to understand this. Here we go. Take everyone listening to your show right now.
Okay.
And if you're in your car or if you're up listening and you're out where you can actually see your moon, look up at your moon. Now, how many moons are there?
We could see one.
Okay. Now, you start lining them up and have everyone describe what they see is your moon. And all of a sudden, you'll have about a couple of million different descriptions.
Yes.
Some will have a ring around it. Some will be a different color. Some will be a different point of the thumbnail, as you want to call it. It's about halfway of the white part is somehow, sometimes you describe it. Some talk about they can see the crater. Some are closer. Some are further. Well, it's the same moon in the same proximity. But they'll describe it, and you'll wonder, which moon are you looking at? You can't imagine that that would be the moon that's the same moon that's the same moon that you're seeing. Mm-hmm. And they'll use descriptive adjectives completely different from your field of vision. And yet there's one moon, and yet everybody's enduring a different moon. So are there 6 billion moons? No, there's just one moon. But the perception of their experience of their moon in their world is totally and completely different. It's what wars get based upon.
Yes. Yes.
And if you could just figure out a way to sift out the evil ones among you, then all of a sudden there'd be perfect peace.
So we just need the evil perception somehow. But, I mean, when you have... this is what we are going through right now. With
exactly. Now, right now, good. Now, oh no, now Evan, it's past. It's on. Hold on, we'll get it. Okay, now, oh wait,
it's gone.
We play. In our experience, there is no time.
Yes.
Only time that you have is the one you create.
Yes.
You invented that. You created that.
Right.
And now you're judged by it.
Right.
And you don't have to be. Very, very interesting. Now, we didn't want to distract because you were on a great thread there. So we'll now that we've stirred up the mix a bit.
Well, hold it. I want to go back to July 22nd of 2009 and
yes.
Your guys' conversations. You brought in the Mayan calendar boom. And that is a date that has never been cited as I know. All we know is about the ending. But, of course, there are significant points within this calendar. And hello, duh. Bob, tell us how this conversation arrived and what is the new in... Well, you kind of talked about the new environment, but how has it manifested for you knowing that?
Well, I have an ESP radio show every Tuesday night. I live here in Maui in the Hawaiian Islands. And so 9 p.m. L.A. time... 6 p.m. my time here in Hawaii, I get together with Ion, and for an hour, we talk about things, and we receive messages from people, images. It's amazing. There are thousands of people out there who can hear things, who can hallucinate, who can pick up ESP. And so every week, after we get rolling, ion starts telling me what images are coming in. And then we identify who the person is. We get their name. Ion could give me the cell phone number, but we don't do that. And we get the address to the point, to the degree the person ion feels would allow it to be out. And we get these incredible images. And then the next day on cash flow, we report these images and give the names location. We get people all over the world. Well, usually I get material on Tuesday night during the Melting Titanium Show. That's what we call it, Melting Titanium.
I get material that I use task cash flow. In your physicalness, by the way.
Beg your pardon?
It's sometimes considered a difficult task in your physicalness.
Yeah, to melt titanium. And so I get material for my cash flow show with James Martinez. But on July 21st, Marsha McLuhan's birthday, the late Marsha McLuhan, Ion tells me that there's a monumental change going on that moment. It was already July 22nd over India, where the eclipse was really focused, quite visible. And so then Ion unfolded the meaning of July 22nd. And I'll leave it to Ion to sort of synopsize it, summarize it. What would you say happened in that period?
Well, first of all, we've got to do a little bit of cleanup because you creators set this process of time. So if you're going to go with time, we'll embrace it. Not much, but we'll clean it up a bit. It's actually a 25,714-year cycle. And what you're coming up on, and this is that 2012 aspect, because, see, we have problems with time because you created it. And if you're going to create time, why do you require leap year? Why couldn't it just be the normal rotation? You could sieve out the tick-tock of how your clock counts minutes and times and days and dates and circles and revolutions and constellations, it being in the sky, as you now have discovered. Now, science was one time that the world, everything was revolving around the Earth.
Right.
Now they've changed that. Well, but then again, scientists of the day used to say that the world was flat, and they could prove it. So, see, from a spherical view to a flat planar view, two-dimension going into a full three-dimension is a pretty big shock.
Mm.
And it's not so many years ago that you had to be careful how far you wandered or you would certainly fall off the edge of it. And that was science of the day. Well, we're not pushing against it. We're just saying that this process of creation, ever changing, always creating, always replacing your established known facts. You had the anniversary with your presidents. With the president, but with your astronauts. And the whole topic of the conversation was, in my BlackBerry I have more memory, a bigger computer in my hand than we had in the entire Apollo series combined that you're walking around with in his pocket. It's very interesting that it's come to such a fun, new, delicious place. Well, that's no big deal. Everyone has an iPod or a Peapod or a BlackBerry or a Blueberry or a Strawberry or something, as they're calling it now. But don't worry, because you'll throw those away, because by the time they hit the market now, they're out of date. See, that's over. That's old school. And most of the folks are coming to mention that they're still wondering what happened to their phonographs. Ma, it's time to crank the Victrola. It's wound down, you see. So as you process this cycle, the 2012, which is not significant other than just a marking of in the sand, but it's a halfway point of this full cycle that the Mayans so aptly picked up on and paid attention to notice the geographic perspective of how the Earth was in its cyclical revolutions of where the constellations or the groupings of stars. Now, we're not giving great energy toward astrology and all that kind of business. And, yes, you can do your charts, but see, who's doing the charts? You are. And your perspective to what you think the charts are, you have total and complete control of your perspective between you and you. So if that works, then you have a leading edge. Well, the leading edge is what you're talking about. It's how do you know if the Bay of Pigs is important or not, or our perspective between us and that geographic location is important. So, and that's a high-minded, descriptive place, but everyone does the exact same thing and can activate that as being a powerful part of their experience. How do you know this day, this morning, in your geographic location that the sun's going to come up? Well, you don't, but it has for many days past, so it's very normal in your experience. So therefore, that the sun comes up today is not such a huge big deal. Meaning, you don't put a great deal of relevance to that aspect. But you actually, in turn, the entire world, so that your point of focus that the sun can rise in your experience is a big deal. It's pretty huge. So, to come into a place where you wake up, the sun comes up, and now you have spiritual gifts already in your physicalness. Because, see, the sun comes up whether you think it's going to come up or not. But now it can be cloudy, but when you have aspects that change that, those become a very great way to focus your power of intention into a place to have a different concept of revelation. Now, sometimes that revolves into revolution, but the revolving or the evolving or revolving or revolution takes on a whole different meaning. But if you knew that the sun was going to come up today, because it has most every day, but you could come up this day that you have actively embraced the non-physical part of you that is, that already is, you don't have to find it, gravity will find you, that you can find a place that you could then be empowered right now with this imbued or maybe ESP extra sensory perception or have these extra gifts activated, then you could be actually one on the planet where the sun comes up on what you call an enlightened being. Now the sunrise has a great different place of experience. And it can be tactile, but it certainly doesn't have to be. It can be normal to have an inside edge to know that to get on the 10 is going to be a disaster today. Sometimes is a handy bit of knowledge. But most days you don't want to be found at 9 o'clock in the morning on the 10. Correct?
That is so true. Going east. Forget about it.
Exactly correct. Exactly correct. So there you go. That becomes a... So those are psychic. Mm. And yet they choose to enjoy that contrast.
On the lines, we have Ion and Bob, and we are communing with you, lovely late-night spirits out there. And we're going to circle back and pick up on the little comet's tail that just flew by us. That's a string of amazing sounds that form words in our cranial cavity and expand it, because that's the great thing that we get to do. If these two maestros, Bob Dobbs, Ion, on the lines with you, if you want to join our conversation, the number here is 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. We are here 50 strong years of broadcasting because we're powered by you, and now we want to hear from you. Our beautiful late night audience, join us. That's what it's all about. Bob and I are here, and you. And so after this great break, we'll be right back. Radio Alchemy.
Eclipsing conventional wisdom. All alchemists converge at www.radioalchemy.com for streaming audio and more.
Hey, darlings, and don't forget to go to www.kpfk.org. There you'll find all of the fantastic programmers here of passion to bring you just a spoonful of sugar to help that medicine go down. That medicine just might be some of these... I don't know, the contrasty rabid Republicans that are out there shaking it up against their own best interests. And that is something that is just crazy when we are talking about having an object in front of us and everybody, you know, seeing it from their own perspective. It's maddening, really, perspective that's out there. But I digress. And so go to KPFK see all the events, all the programs, etc. If you did pledge in our previous fund drive, if you haven't already sent in your envelope of thanks, we thank you for thinking of us in this time. If you could forward us those fiat currency dollars, we will laundry them into the most beautiful sounds that will touch your spirit and enliven it, and send you back our love and goodies for your nourishment, a nice exchange. And so, you know, do be a part of that. And we do have special fund drives going on, raising money to help the homeless. Always giving is what Pacific is all about, and we appreciate your support. On the lines, we have Ion and Bob Dobbs. We are having a commune with you if you would like to join us. The number here is 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. So before the break, you had mentioned, and Bob had asked you about the 22nd and that significance. When you were talking about this change coming up now, how is it going to manifest in matter? What is the big shift, and how are we feeling it right now?
Okay. Not so long ago, you had in the what you call the astral world a realigning of the grid, this overlay of the magnetic, but it's a magnetical field of polarity, and that is always adjusting and shifting just a bit. But in this particular rotation of this solar eclipse was the marking of how you would resonate with it, became a new overlay. The grid was realigned, and it was the completion of that process that now allows for a fuller, more dynamic flow between the execution of the non-physical part that's already you with the physical part with you. Now, the only difference or issue here, your body can naturally, it understands, it naturally responds. You do realize you don't have the same lips that you did 7 years ago.
Hmm.
Your body is constantly sloughing off cells and creating new ones.
Hmm.
Well, now that you're coming to a place where that's not a big understanding, that's kind of normal to understand that your liver is not the same liver, and your toenails aren't the same toenails, and things are reproducing themselves, you see. But this dynamic now becomes a new way from non-physical attaching to physical. The only issue or question then is in the mind, the sifting of the mind. What you can embrace, and that's just craziness, that's just, oh, that must be that quantum physics. Quantum just means that nobody knows what that means. Well, if you start to know what it means, now it must no longer be quantum physics. But the dynamic of the mind, or the fulcrum of the mind, the teeter-totter, because it kind of waxes and wanes and wafts about in the balancing of what you can embrace and what you can't within the mind, allows the non-physical and the physical to sometimes become one. And this particular place actually made it simpler and easier for the average human, or the super average, or the underachiever, or the overachiever. Actually, they kind of go all in the same basket, but they have a resonance with the knowing of the non-physical part of them, their one individualness with the physical. And that now, if it doesn't overheat the oppressed brain, then you can embrace it. And if you can embrace it, then what happens is you become one. When they sometimes call that, the Buddhist would call that enlightened, of course, but then you start hitting on all cylinders. So you have they basically turned up the volume the individual creators mm-hmm. have turned up the volume, so many people are much easier to hear. Mm-hmm. Your recorded scriptures all day, every day, say, let them who have ears to hear, hear. Well, if you don't have ears to hear, don't worry about it, because it'll miss you anyway. Mm-hmm. But if not, then you have an easier time of hearing after the 22nd as you did before the 22nd, if that, of course, is within your vibrational proximity.
Mm-hmm. Let's we could go on, but let's take some calls that we have on here.
One.
I'm sorry. Did you want to say something?
Wonderful. That'd be great.
Okay, fantastic. Hey, caller four, you're on with Ion and Bob. Hi, caller four. Say something. Just say something. Caller. Oh, what a bummer! They're away from their phone. Okay, we'll move on. Hey, caller one, you're on with Ion and Bob.
Hello, my name is Rainbow. Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I'm enjoying your putting together things in systematic ways that are far-fetched and well earned to be put together. I was thinking that I'm powerless to get the gestalt always that I like of a whole world full of schoolrooms and grounds in which people can learn, and what do they learn about the oneness, the no other, the no end of life and the universe. And it tells me that as a body, I'm more than a host, I'm more than a vehicle, I'm more than a vessel, I'm more than a home, I'm more than an enraptured being, I'm a generator of my mind field. And it's a lovely thing. So let me end at that, and thank you for taking my call.
Thank you so much. Thank you, dear.
Bye.
Oh, bye. Bye. Reactions to Rainbow?
It was very, very soft. And, of course, we can hear the answer, but we're not sure everyone else did.
Oh, yes. Okay. In a sense, he was certainly enjoying how all of these tangents how we are stringing together things that maybe seem far-fetched but are beautifully come together. And he knows that he is beyond his physical body. And so what would you say, how many rainbows do you think are out there, Ion, when you look at his planet? How many individuals are benefiting from the 22nd?
All of them.
Yeah, okay, I understand. How many know they're benefiting?
Many more are coming into the place of embracing anything that's different than what they've been accustomed to. And the caller, the essence of what the caller was trying to say was, when you come into a place where you find a way to relax and allow within your own creation, it becomes a very safe, comfortable place, so that you don't have to be judged by your physicalness any longer. And that's the essence of what he was trying to convey. And the rainbow, it's very interesting, and now your science has even embraced this, that the wavelengths have actually shortened within the, if you hold a prism and focus it through sunlight, you have all the colors of the rainbow. If you look at those prisms from where they were and where they are now, they're actually documenting science. We have such fun with it because they use all day, every day, their experience to disprove the thing that is provable. It's very fun. But those wavelengths have actually shortened, meaning they've gotten closer together. So therefore, when the rainbow or prismed light would be focused through a prism,
yes,
it used to be longer. Now they're noticing that it's shorter. That's what happened with your analog change going into your digital world, because as those wavelengths have shortened, they found better uses for an analog signal.
So that means that they're being sped up. That's a higher frequency.
Exactly. That's exactly correct. And that becomes very interesting, because now everyone was already locked into that digital, the analog place, And now they found a better use for the analog use,
right.
So they flipped everybody digital. And then, of course, Bob's chomping at the bit because that's the digital body and the chip body that's being activated and having the awakening chorus of the bodies. But that's delicious. But it's a very fun place of embracing somehow. And the words were very beautiful because it put folks into a new dynamic of understanding. The caller wasn't interested in the whole wide world. They were trying to tell how they know it.
Hmm.
And
oh.
That perspective now becomes very important because it's showing up in their experience and they don't even know why. It just is.
Can somebody have limited perspective and still reach nirvana?
Certainly. Can those with macular degeneration still see? Yes, they just lose their periphery. And that focuses their sightedness with the cones and rods in the eye into bringing in what's right in front of them. It pinpoints their sightedness.
Hmm.
Same way.
Yes, sir. Oh, let's go to a call. Caller 4, you're on with Ion and Bob. Welcome.
Hello?
Yes, that's you.
Hi, Evan?
Yes, hi.
And Bob and Ian?
That's right, everybody's
here. How
do
you do? This is Nitai. Ian, are you speaking for, like, the atomic dimension, like as in electrons and ions?
Oh, well, that's a dynamic that's very interesting. The name is not so important. As is the expression of non-physicalness.
You remind me a lot of a star entity.
Those are part of your dynamic in your world. So from that place of asking, yes, absolutely. It's the same place where the Oracle of Delphi would give predictions back in the day. Well, their child was named Ion. So it actually even fits even in some of your mythology process of understanding the name. And the name is not important unless except for the place where you resonate with it.
And the ologies always change.
If they do. They absolutely do. Just as that, as you look at all things as being solid and
Or they're just memories. Because the old be here and now is impossible. So, I had this realization listening to you folks, and it so much made me want to play charades with Frank Zappa. But, all we have, in a way, is we choose our memories and to recall things, be they of the future or the past, and the way we share our consciousness, I just think that's the essence, and that's so wonderful. And I think there's a a balance, kind of like the source. And I don't know. It's kind of like we're all one, but yet we all have our personality and our flavor to add to the oneness.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And those are perfect words because even as you're perfectly articulating our words, and then you follow that up, well, I don't know. Well, you do know. You're describing it perfectly. Here's how it works. Everyone has a non-physical. That's one. That we all are one is all of the non-physical. And the non-physical part that is you is resonating somehow through the balance of the mind, the fulcrum of the mind, that you're embracing that with the physicalness that is individual, that you can have and be or do whatever you want to be, have, or do. But the resonance with the non-physical, which is all, then becomes a cohesive way of putting together, even through your individuality. So those are absolutely perfect words. They absolutely describe it perfectly of how you can have an individual thought, but it's wrapped within the resonance of all of the non-physical, which is already part of you.
Thank you. You just put me on the correct side of the mirror, so to speak.
Ah, that's a very interesting perspective. So I guess you might want to start with the man in the mirror after all, huh?
And these are wonderful days, these next 2 days.
They are indeed.
It's Krishna Janmashtami, and that means there's lots of lights and festivities going all over the world.
They are indeed.
Hey, caller, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your wonderfulness.
And yours.
That's love you all a lot.
All right, you too.
It's co-creating at its best.
Yes, absolutely. Let's welcome on. Caller 5, you're on with Bob and Ion.
Hi.
Hi.
This is Pamela.
Hi.
And I'm calling from Costa Mesa.
Welcome. Costa Mesa, right on.
All the way.
Good. Thank you for tuning in.
Well, thank you for being here. I really don't know if this question that I have is something that you can help with, but I'm kind of just like stuck in being puzzled, and I thought I'd just run it by and see some of the stuff you're talking about. I don't know if I really get, because I'm trying to understand, and some of it's kind of out there, but I'm going to run this. Anyway, I've been kind of working with this person who is severely depressed, and I have been trying to take her to all the things that bring me out of that, you know, like feet, sand, sun, exercise, all the things that spirit, you know, meditation things, just everything I can think of. And it seems like no matter what we do or where we hike or where we walk on the beach, I say, well, how are you doing? She goes, I want to kill myself.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I just thought I'd run this by to see what you would say, because I would truly love to be of some kind of help to this person, but her past is like one kid paralyzed, another kid stolen from her at 1 year old, and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And I just, there's some kind of post-traumatic stress there, and the only answer that most doctors seem to have is chemical, like take this pill, take this one, take this one. And I think she's taken the whole range. And I just wonder what you can say to me.
Well, we have wonderful words, and we would also... you can actually share these words with her as well.
Thank you.
Here's a simple, easy place. Now, we can undo it as quickly as we do it, but here's what you're asking for.
Yes.
I am a creator. I am in physical. I'm in this body, in a body, on this planet, at this place of now.
Mm-hmm.
And in my experience, the contrast that I'm experiencing, I cannot process within the confines of my mind.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, that's why the drugs work or don't work.
Yeah, they mostly don't, yeah.
Well, but see, the drug, the magic pill, I didn't digest it. So therefore, the lack or undoingness that is in my world is less than, and I had hoped for so much more.
Mm-hmm.
When you're dealing with any type of chemical or imbalance or what you call depression, is pression. What is pression? Pressure.
Yeah.
The pressures of life. When you can come to a delicious, delightful place where the cares of life grow strangely dim, then you're on the right path. So, get rid of the pressurization, or focus not in your correct, because it distracts, the distraction of the beautiful sand, the beautiful view, the deliciousness.
The whole nine yards.
Yes, the deliciousness is life. Sometimes can distract you into a comfort place. So, stop where you are. If you called and said, my friend is on fire, Ion, what do? I would not talk about the ethereal parts of burning up your physical body.
Uh-huh.
I would say, wait a second, stop. Stop right where you are.
Yeah.
Take no action.
Okay.
Stop. Drop to the ground and roll. That's what they tell you to do when you're on fire.
Roll.
Stop, drop, and roll.
Uh-huh.
Okay? When you're in a depressed state that you can't get out of, stop. Because I've obviously, up until now, action has not been effective.
No.
And you have to answer this question. She has to answer this question. And you can be the conduit. And you may or may not be the one to actually help her, but you're engaging us regarding it, so you're as good as any.
Yeah.
Bring them back into a center place of, okay, your world is crap. Everything is bad. It's terrible. Suicide seems to be a happier place for you.
Right.
Okay, I understand that.
Yeah.
And be good with that. Now, focus to the point of, is there any concept, and do it from her place of where she is, because you are where you are, and believe it or not, you take yourself most everywhere you go.
Yes.
focus on, is there any aspect or concept within your whole beingness that you can appreciate?
Okay.
And the answer will be no.
Right.
Well, I haven't committed suicide yet, and I'd hoped it'd be over by now,
right.
And I'm sure it is, but but that's fine. we're being cheeky is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But focus on only the thing. I awoke today from my slumber.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I get joy from my what you called a child that is less than. There is bliss in that creation that is creating, that is not appropriate by the world standards and makes it less than. But focus on any delightful part of their life and build upon that place of knowing. But you can't trick them into being happy.
No.
Good luck.
Any delightful, say that thing one more time. Any delightful, what?
Any delightful thing in their experience.
Okay.
You can't drag them to the beautiful sunset. You've got to notice the sun coming through the window in their depravity.
Okay, I got you.
And go at it from the standpoint of where they are.
Okay.
Because if you meet someone where they are, not where you are,
yeah,
then all of a sudden the peripheral view is so much larger.
Yeah.
And take it on that layer by layer by layer. Do you know what a pearl is?
Yeah.
What?
It's a little shiny something that's been created in an oyster?
Yes. Well, guess what it is? It's an irritant.
Okay.
The irritant, the problem, gets caught in the oyster.
Right.
And it festers. And when it festers, then what happens is the mollusk or the pearl creates spit. It's called nacre.
Okay.
And that nacre then layers that irritant. It encapsulates it. And it layers it and layers it and layers it and layers it until it becomes this lustrous, shiny, prized jewel.
Uh-huh.
Well, if you apply more spit, it will cover that irritant to the next place of an irritation now becomes a prized jewel.
Yeah.
Bring it back into a place of layering, encapsulating what you're calling less than or depression.
Right.
And embrace it. And take it full on. Embrace it. Talk about how delicious it would be if suicide was your experience. And if that's the only happy place that they can find, embrace it.
Okay.
No problem, because you can't change it anyway.
No.
So you can look for not the best feeling thought that's ever been, but you can feel a little bit better than you just felt before.
Okay.
Build on that layered place of embracing anything. It doesn't have to be the most savory thing you've ever put in your mouth, but it can be not like bitterness.
Okay, embracing anything that feels halfway better.
Feel a little bit better than you felt right now. And then continue that process till it becomes normal. And we promise you in a very short window of time, the fulcrum of the brain will balance that imbalance to the point where you can come into a place where you enjoy the creation of life.
Thank you.
It's very delicious. That's very wonderful. And it's not a problem and it's not an issue. It's only a place.
Okay.
And as she comes into that recognition of the resonance that she has physical and non-physical, and it allows that to unfold, sometimes the most what you call revered people in your recorded history are those that were in this less-than place or this depression place that made them have to focus at a super high level that brought them into excellence, par excellence.
Okay.
They saw it from lack, and that's okay because lack.
They saw it from lack, you said.
Mm-hmm. Sorry?
You said they saw it from lack.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely.
Okay.
They saw it from lack, and if you're looking from lack, then there's always not enoughness.
Yes, yes.
Well, there is enough. There's enough love, there's enough joy, there's enough spit, there's enough.
Yes.
There's enough irritants.
There's enough forgiveness.
There's enough forgiveness.
Okay.
And then to forgive, something is forgiven, opens up a whole new dynamic. But you got to take them at where they are.
Yes.
And ask them at what point, at what's the better feeling place.
Okay.
Regardless. And if that's chatting all day about suicide, you see, that's the delicious part. That'll activate the non-physical part. Because just because there's not enoughness doesn't mean there has to be lack. then you can come into abundance. And you go, well, wait a second. She already has abundance. She's depressed. She has an abundance mm-hmm. of depression.
Yes. yes.
So embrace that place from where she is. And then what happens, you'll find it could be bark on a tree.
It can be what?
Bark on a tree.
Oh, bark on a tree. I got you. Okay.
It can be any aspect that is. Any aspect that is that you can embrace and pinpoint focus on. And we promise if you start giving your undivided attention to that place, mm-hmm. then that will fill the space. And when you fill the space, then the depression, what you're calling depression,
right.
or degrees of separation,
yes.
seem to meld into the wallpaper. They melt.
Okay.
See, it melts away. And in that melting away, then all of a sudden you start having a vigor or a visceral vitality in your physicalness.
Okay.
And then you can build upon those things. Well, I had a nice walk. I got my heart rate going. I feel good. I'm distracted. The problems are still there, but I feel better about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the breeze feels nice. The water is cool. I'm laying on the rock. You know, any aspect, but you can't do it from you're dragging them around.
No.
You got to do it from where they are.
And also, if a person has a habit of watering the dark side, then that grows, you know, and it's hard to communicate to water the other one, you know.
Well, it's okay. It makes you appreciate the light.
Yeah, okay.
All right. So you could also be in so much light that you can't see.
I don't know. It's just challenging to try to be of service in that way, you know.
Well, then embrace the parts that you can embrace. But isn't that interesting that if you stare at the sun for 15 minutes straight on, you will not be able to see?
Yeah, true that, huh?
Blinded mm-hmm. by the light, I guess would be the coin of phrase.
Yeah.
But the darkness all of a sudden embraces that if there's a candle, you can see that candle from a far, far away.
Because of the darkness.
Embrace it. Yeah, that's not a problem at all.
Okay,
we'll sit in the dark place until the light shows up. And then when the light shows up, then we'll have a new fun place of then discussing that one flicker of hope, that one flicker of delicious light that doesn't make the icky darkness go away. For example, in your house, you don't have dark switches.
No.
Why?
Don't need them.
Well, but they turn the light off as many times as they turn the light on.
You know what? I think I'm getting in over my head here.
So we'll simplify it.
Yeah, please.
When you're in that experience with that individual creator,
yeah.
ask them, is there any place in your being that you could talk about that brings you a little bit, make you feel a little better than you did before we had this conversation? And wherever that place is, that's your beginning point.
Thank you so much.
Yes, indeed. And be soft about all of it. Love them as they are. Learn how to love, and they'll see that in you.
Yeah.
And that spark may be the only ray of hope and light that they have in their world.
It seems
and
like that.
That becomes a delicious place. It's not your job or responsibility.
Right. Thank
They're
you.
Not lost. They don't need saving.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Very good.
I need a little shift in perspective there.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
You're so welcome.
Okay.
KPFK, 90.7 FM, Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara, 90.7 in San Diego. And Costa Mesa is listening. Thank you. And tell a friend. And thank you for calling in, because I think all of us just got counseled. All of us know now, or possibly will know, somebody in this environment that feels overwhelmed. And it is a perceptual thing, because you have come with everything you need to deal with this. You wouldn't sign up for this unless you came armed and lovely. So, and so I think that was just an amazing counsel win that we got from Ion. And Bob's there too, standing by right there on the sides. And so we have to just do a quick station ID, little round to do, and we'll be right back with Bob and Ion. If you want to get on this, the number is 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. Stay tuned for the second hour of Radio Alchemy on KPFK 90.7 FM, Los Angeles.